It looks like everything's on. Hey, all right, everybody. This is Hank Alexander once again with a Midnight Ride Revolution recap. Once again, joined by Sean Donahue, Soccer News, New England Soccer. And then also on the phone with us is Mr. Brian O'Connell, recently from Costa Rica, but from New England Soccer News. Brian, we know you weren't at the game, but we trust that you've been keeping up, so we're going to get your insights as we go through it. But Sean and I were treated to an excellent display of what Colorado can do when they decide to play on the road last night. My first venture into the press box, I have to say it wasn't everything that I thought it was going to be. I thought there would be cocktail waitresses and people waiting on me hand and foot, but there didn't, weren't anybody there. So I had a good view of the game, and to me, it just seemed that the New England Revolution just couldn't get it into gear and couldn't find any cohesion. Sean, what was your take on the game?
Well, they got off to another slow start, which has really been the case every game this season, even the ones they've won. And especially surprising and worrying at home, because that was something that troubled them last year, and they still haven't seemed to be able to figure that out. But once Bellucci scored that goal, it kind of sparked them into life a little bit, and then Perovic got that great free kick goal, and it looked like the Revs were, you know, playing a lot better, creating some chances. I know you and I were watching and seeing Dubé, and he had a good chance early on that he really should have finished that. He, you know, sent over the bar. He had a couple of chances this game, and that's kind of been the case for him all season. His finishing has just been not good at all. But then in the second half, it seemed like neither team could really keep possession very well, which is a problem for the Revs throughout the game. Colorado's midfield definitely was a lot better at keeping possession. They kind of overran the Revs' midfield, especially in the center where Miyuki and Balin just weren't doing a good job holding the ball up and winning the ball. Certainly that's something that hurts without Joseph in there. And that was the problem for them really all game. And I think that was the key to this matchup, was guys like Mastroianni and, of course, Jeff Larenowitz, a former Revolution player, you know, in Colorado's midfield, were a lot stronger than Phelan and Yuki were for the Revs. But there were some positives in this one. Yossi on the right wing, setting up some good chances, again, which weren't finished well by either Dubé or Shalowski. And then Perovic, who scored that great free kick. But overall, I didn't think he was too active on the left midfield. But of course, once Mastroianni scored that goal, the Revs switched things up and played a 3-5-2, which really didn't work at all for them. Obviously, in the past, it's worked, but I think that's something, again, where you really need Charlie Joseph out there if you're going to play that 3-5-2 formation. And overall, it just wasn't a good performance by the Revs. And another one where, you know, Charlie Joseph being out made a huge difference.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I mean, nobody really totally looked comfortable, especially in the midfield. You know, Marco, according to even Steve Nichol, after the game, he's just not 100% fit yet. He's not playing match fit. Yeah, he had a great set piece. Still not seeing him link up the way that we want him to with everybody. You know, there were a couple of moments there where I thought Zach Schalowski was playing very well. You know, he ran over the ball a couple of times, you know, got ahead of himself. The other times he was able to knock the ball down in a good position down in front of the goal, dished it off to Dubé a couple of times, dished it off to Perovic. And I thought he did fine, a great job. I was actually surprised to see him come out of the half so early, the second half, that is, and for Edgars Jankauskas, of all people, who hasn't seen the pitch and just got off the injury list this past week. I thought maybe we'd see Edgars Jankauskas maybe 10 minutes tops, if at all.
Yeah, I thought we'd see him for Dubé if we saw him too, because I certainly agree that Shalowski was looking a lot better than Dubé, who, you know, all season his finishing has been pretty dreadful. He's had some, you know, good opportunities that he just hasn't been able to put in the back of the net and hasn't even really, you know, forced the goalkeeper into a good save on any of them. So that's kind of disappointing to see from him. So I thought he'd be the first guy off.
Yeah, it's a good party trick he's got, you know, because he just manages somehow to get the ball at his feet right in front of the goal and then put it over the crossbar from standing, you know, 1 yard in front of the goalie. So, I mean, looking at the result last night and what they had, I mean, obviously to everybody, the key missing component there is Shalry Joseph. And, you know, he tried to practice on Friday. didn't quite feel 100%. So they knew that he wasn't going to be able to make it. But, you know, looking at the upcoming lineups for the Revs, they're going to need him very soon. The other thing that I find very telling, I mean, or not too telling, because I'm kind of confused, but the substitution, you know, from last week's lineup where he had Chris Tierney on the left and Perovic as a withdrawn midfielder, to put Perovic on the left, maybe this is an experiment. Who knows? I don't think it worked out too great, to be honest. I think there's some serious chemistry that's missing from the lineup that it is, that the lineup that Steve Nichol put out on the field last night. So if there was, if this was just an experiment kind of thing to see how things worked, you know, it's going to take, obviously it's going to take more than one game to get that going. But looking at that lineup, you know, the way that Chris Tierney and Seth Sinovic have been, have been linking up over the first three games, and the way that the Revolution have been playing out to the flanks and to the wings, I thought they were doing a much better job before Perovic came into the lineup. And I'm not knocking Perovic. He's just come in. He's obviously working on his fitness and all that other stuff. And we saw that he can, contribute, you know, on the set piece, you know, and you can't deny that. What is Chris Tierney's future now that Perovic is in this lineup and now that he seems to be slotted for the left side? Ryan, you got anything?
Yeah, that's an excellent question, Hank. I think, you know, with the way that Chris Tierney played, I mean, I think all three of us were pretty much impressed with what Chris Tierney brought to the table at the beginning of the season. He seemed like a player reborn almost. When I talked to him during media day, and he said he really dedicated himself this year to becoming a better player, you know, sensing that there would be quite a battle on the left side of the midfield this year with Castro and Minsali and, you know, everyone else that the Revs have over on the left. And it's just, you know, it's tough to see a guy just kind of get stopped, you know, from continuing to go forward in his progression. It sounded like it looked like he was doing pretty well in those first few games. And, although I couldn't catch the last two games, you know, online, you know, I was able to catch the highlights. And, you know, it's tough for a guy like Tierney. I mean, you know, you bring in a guy like Perovic, and you know what, you know, like we had talked about a couple of weeks ago, you almost have a wealth of options, which can either be a really good thing. You know, they say it's a good problem to have, but you know, at the same time, it can also still be a problem when you have a guy like Tierney who has, I think, proven that he can play on the left side and has shown that he can, that the slot should belong to him, and then you have a guy like Perovic who, you know, there's no question, you know, he's a game changer, just like it last night. So, you know, what do you do? I mean, I guess you could slide Perovic back and forth, maybe, you know, use him as a withdrawn forward while, you know, Dubé works on his finishing. You know, who knows? And you bring up Shalowski up front, and, you know, or maybe you switch him up and just to see what combinations work best. But it's kind of disheartening to see Chris Tierney being kind of cast to the side when he had a pretty good opening start to the season. And, you know, a guy like Perovic, obviously, you know, you talked about fitness. He, you know, he's working that up. And, you know, obviously the goal yesterday was encouraging to see. But what happens to Tierney? That's a great question. I hope that, you know, Nichol finds some time for him on the left and, you know, he finds Perovic up top, you know, maybe as a withdrawn forward, maybe as a left-sided midfielder, and they kind of, you know, platoon maybe a little bit. But, you know, I think it's hard for me to imagine a consistent Revolution lineup which features both on the pitch at the same time. So I think ultimately Steve Nichol knows the answer, and and I don't think he'll tell us anytime soon which one he'll commit to so far.
No, I think that's pretty clear. Go ahead, Sean.
And of course, there's Castro, who's been out injured too, who could factor into this equation at some point and make it even tougher. But like you were saying, I didn't think Perovic looked that good at left midfield. I mean, it was obvious the skill he had out there. He did good. You know, he had a couple times where there were three or four defenders on him, and he managed to keep possession of the ball, get it to somebody. You know, he certainly looked good out there, and there's no doubting his quality, and I think he's looked good, you know, even in that withdrawn forward role, even though the results haven't been there. from the run of play. I still think he's looked better there. But I feel like you also saw defensively that Sinovic was getting kind of overrun down that right flank, having to defend where Tierney kind of stays back and a little bit and gets back defensively more than Perovic did, and that kind of hurt them as well, especially when they had a guy like Omar Cummings up there they had to deal with as well, and the speed down that right flank that they had. That kind of made it difficult on Sinovic. So I just don't think Perovic right now is their best option at left midfield. Certainly in a 3-5-2, we could maybe see him at the attacking midfield role, or in a 4-4-2 slash kind of 4-5-1 as the attacking midfielder slash drawn forward. I think he's probably better off there, based on what we've seen. But again, like Nickel said last night, he's still catching his fitness isn't 100% yet. He hasn't only been training for so long with the team for a couple weeks. So there's that to think about as well. But I don't think his long-term role on the team is going to be at left midfield. So we'll see how that plays out.
Yeah, I'm thinking about that too. It makes perfect sense now that you mention it, because he wasn't getting back. And now that I think of it, I'm wondering if the preferred lineup for this team will be more of a, a diamond in the middle, so to speak, with maybe put just get Shawri healthy and just have Shawri as your single defensive midfielder with Perovic and playing at the top of the diamond, Niasse on the right, Tierney on the left, and then you have Shalosky partnering with either Dubé or Jankowskis up top. And let's pray to God that Taylor Twellman gets healthy sometime soon. the encouraging points from last night's game, I have to say I'm struggling now to find them. I mean, they definitely did try to press, and once they got past Pablo and Jeff in the Colorado midfield there, they were able to find some space and, especially in front of the goal, just lacking that finishing touch. So, yeah, they were able to kind of, make some chances, just not capitalize on them. But, it's the capitalizing on them that's going to be the key component there. I mean, we outshot them. We definitely had, the more convincing opportunities, I should say, that, you'd say, oh, my God, we should have scored there. Oh, my God, we should have scored there. There was that one where Connor Casey was down in the, drilling the ball right into Preston Burpo's chest area a couple of times, and that was a scary moment. But other than that, I didn't really feel that he was tested too much. He made some good saves that were relatively simple saves to make. The two shots that went in were kind of random. Bellucci's ball was just incredible, and I don't think Preston Burpo. I talked to him afterwards in the locker room. He said that he was trying to look left, peeking left around Corey Gibbs. The ball swerved to his right instead, so he was just out of position. And the shot from Mastroeni, Mastroeni never makes shots like that.
No.
Ever. And, it was just the night, it's a toss of the coin, really, who's going to be the better team, in my opinion. And, I think if you had to come down to it, if you had to put your finger on what made the difference, it was the midfield of Colorado outplayed the midfield of New England Revolution, even Wells Thompson. I mean, he was, getting free on the left side and finding lots of room down there. He was giving Kevin Alston a hard time down that in the right back spot. Not just in the, run of play, but also, they looked like they were jawing back and forth a little bit too. It's kind of interesting to see that kind of stuff going on between ex-teammates, so to speak. And I think maybe that threw Kevin Alston off, never having really gone up against an ex-teammate before. I think that was his first time he's had to do that. And I'm not sure how he handled it. I didn't get a chance to talk to Kevin after the game. Sean, did you run into him?
No, I didn't talk to Kevin after the game, but I definitely noticed what you were talking about. There was really some talking back and forth, and did have a few run-ins with him during the game. But like you said, I 100% agree that the difference in this game really was the midfield. And even going into the game, I think you could have predicted that, seeing experienced guy like Paolo Mascherano, who's played on the U.S. national team. And we all know what Jeff Reynolds is capable of. And even Mehdi Bellucci, who's seen a lot of time in the center, but was obviously playing on the wing in this game. You know, those are tough guys to go up against, certainly even with Joseph in the lineup. But with Phelan and Yuki, I don't think it was ever going to be in the Revs' favor there. And, you know, I think especially in the second half, you know, even in the early part of the first half as well, they were just holding the possession way better than the Revs could. And Phelan and Yuki were both having trouble winning the ball. Yuki showed a few moments of, you know, a few times, good job keeping possession, but I don't think either of them are as good at winning the ball, or nearly as good at winning the ball as Strawberry Joseph is, or as good at distributing it after that. So that's a, you know, big problem there. And, you know, those two guys just can't make up for the absence of Joseph.
I think that's overall, that's the key there. I mean, and Connor Casey, I thought did well holding up the ball. I mean, he set up that play for Pablo Mastroianni. They came to play. It was really, you know, I think it took everybody by surprise. I was talking with some of the guys in the press box before the game, and you know, said, you know, the thing here is really to get Colorado to actually play, force them to play the Revolutions game. Well, I think Colorado forced the Revolution to play the Rapids game. But, you know, coming up, we've got the Revolution. That, you know, Steve Nichols got a chance here to really tinker around with his lineup over the next couple of weeks, because not only do we have FC Dallas next Saturday, we've got Chivas USA Wednesday after that, just 4 days later. Then Columbus on Saturday the 8th. So that's three games in about 8 days. And then an Open Cup match against either New York or Philadelphia on Wednesday the 12th. And then San Jose on the 15th at home. So that's five games in 2 weeks. That's a lot of games. That's a whole lot of games. And, you know, hopefully Shaw Ruby will be back for some of them. But you could probably see him tinkering with the lineup a bit more over the next couple of weeks and try to find some formula. Obviously, the Open Cup match is never really a super huge priority until you...
Unfortunately.
Yeah, it is unfortunate, and we can go off on that for a while. But, you know, until you get into like the semifinals, then all of a sudden it becomes a big priority. So if the Revolution somehow managed to string a U.S. Open Cup, you know, series of victories together, then it's obviously a lot more football for the Revs going down the stretch. But, you know, right now, you know, all eyes are on Dallas coming in. I think overall, the play of Dallas hasn't been spectacular. You know, Brian, do you have any insight on Dallas?
I haven't been keeping up on Dallas as much as I'd like to, but just going back on something that you guys were talking about, you know, as far as the Colorado midfield and just their kind of dominance over the Revolution midfield. One thing that I noticed, and obviously you guys have seen a lot more of the games these past 2 weeks than I have, but it just seems to me, and you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but it just seems that, you know, a guy that I think would be responsible for that kind of lapse, aside from the absence of Shalvey Joseph, would be a guy like Joseph Nyuki. I mean, I just see him. From what I've seen on the past two games, it just looks like he's a defensive liability. And I mean, you know, not to stray too far off topic from talking about FC Dallas, but I mean, I just want to get you guys' takes on that, because to me it seems like he's no Shalvey Joseph, but then again, who is? But he just seems to be a weaker defensive central midfielder than, say, your average defensive midfielder, at least in my opinion. I don't know what you guys think about that.
Yeah, Sean.
Well,
go ahead.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right about that. That kind of like what I was saying earlier. He definitely is good at keeping possession and, you know, kind of getting out of tight situations when he has the ball. And certainly, I know Shaw Joseph mentioned that. But it was interesting when I talked to Shaw Joseph a couple weeks ago about Yuki. You know, the thing he said is that, you know, he's really good at keeping possession, but he needs to work on winning the ball. And that's something that, you know, I think has been obvious these past couple games. You know, he's not that good at, you know, being the guy like Joseph, intercepting these passes, getting in the right spots, and taking the ball away. You know, when he gets the ball, he can keep possession, which is a very good thing to have, and I think he's certainly better at that than Pat Phelan is. But as far as winning the ball, I think he does need some work there. And I think even playing with Joseph would help him in that sense, and having Joseph as the example, but he doesn't have him right now, you know, in playing or in full training to work with him. So I think he certainly deserves more time, but I do agree with you that as far as winning the ball goes for a defensive midfielder, that he hasn't been great.
Yeah, one thing I noticed about Nauki last night was he seemed to get more into the attack last night. He was definitely more in the attacking third of the field. Wasn't as reserved, wasn't as far back, which I thought was kind of encouraging, actually. And he actually got a shot off on goal at one point. From overall, the Revolution need to have some more of that production coming out of the midfield. So it was good to see him take that initiative. And, and Pat Phelan, to me, up until last night, I was saying, well, in my mind, Pat Phelan is the guy who's making it more of an effort and trying to get more into the attack and whatever. And so why not partner Pat Phelan, who's been with the team for the last couple of years, with Shalrie Joseph on a more regular basis? Now, after last night's performance, however, I watching Nauki, it was an improvement for him. So now I'm kind of torn. I don't know which one would make a better partner down the stretch for Shalrie. But one thing I do know is that Pat Phelan spends way too much time on his butt. he loves to slide tackle, and he that's how he tries to win the ball. But he does it too often, and I think people know it's coming, and it's maybe he's telegraphing it somehow or something. But he's ineffective, with his slide tackling right now, and he needs to stay on his feet more. And Nauki himself, like you said, I mean, watching him get into the attack last night, I said, well, wait a minute, who's covering for you? Who's back filling your spot right now? Well, nobody was, both of them were just flat out burned. Pat Phelan tried to catch up with Belushi on the goal attempt, basically, that, their first goal for Colorado. Belushi just blew right by them, though, and they couldn't stop him. So you got to look into who is supposed to be covering that spot there and why they weren't there. But, like I said, they've got some time to work that stuff out. It's still early in the season. Yeah, it's not looking great right now. We're, 2 wins, 3 losses for the Revs. But the good news is we're going up against FC Dallas on Saturday. They've got zero wins. 0 wins, 3 draws, and 1 loss. And, I think Mr. Jeff Cunningham has yet to find his form from last season. I think so far, well, he's scored 3 goals this season, so he's tied with Zach Schlotsky.
At least 2 of them. They're all penalties. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's I watched a lot of the game. I watched a lot of their last game against Seattle, and they were very fortunate to come away with that with a draw with the 2 penalty kicks they had in that. And I don't know why. Certainly the second one was very questionable, and they were fortunate to come away with that one. I think Seattle looked the better team there. And I haven't seen Dallas too much this season, but I wasn't all that impressed with them against Seattle. So it'll be interesting to see how they come out against the Revs. Certainly, I hope we don't give up 2 penalty kicks to them. I mean, they only had 6 shots all match. So, they haven't looked as good offensively as they did last year. They got to a slow start last year and then brought it on towards the end of the season, and they've done the same thing this year. And
the Revs, certainly it should be a game the Revs should go into looking to get 3 points, because Dallas hasn't been a great team this year.
Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, and Hank, like you were saying earlier about tinkering with the lineup and tinkering with guys in the midfield, especially. I think this would be a good match, a good early season match to maybe switch around guys like you know, if obviously if Chalry's healthy, you know, you bring him in. But if he's not, even if he's 90%, I mean, you know, the line going into the season was that, you know, they'll play Chalry when he's healthy. And then, you know, when he plays Toronto, obviously he re-aggravates the injury. And, you know, and then he's out for a couple more games. So hopefully, like, if he does come back, he will be 100% and he won't be in a position to where, you know, he puts himself in a position to where he gets hurt again. But, you know, it goes back to, you know, it's an early season game. You're facing a team that's obviously, you know, inferior. You know, Sean mentioned the game that they played against Seattle. I did catch a few minutes of that game while I was down in Costa Rica, one of the few MLS games I was able to watch down there. And, you know, God bless the referee for that, for giving them a point there, because, you know, you get one penalty and, you know, I guess you can be considered lucky, but two in the same game and then the second one in extra time, you know, you gotta be pleasing the soccer gods somehow. You gotta be, maybe Shels Hyman is, you know, offering, you know, some sort of sacrifice to them, because to get that win, I mean, to get that draw and to pull a point away from that match, a match they had no business pulling any points out of, you know, to me, the Revs team seemed like they'd be in a good position to maybe tinker with that lineup and to, you know, maybe put guys here and put guys there, and, you know, maybe do see Perovic as a withdrawn forward and Tierney, you know, on the same pitch, you know, starting, and, you know, maybe Perovic, you know, does come back and, you know, shows better form, you know, off the ball, you know, maybe his fitness improves and, you know, he really shows what he can do from the run of play as opposed to set pieces. So I think this will be of all the matches we've seen so far early in the season, I think this will be the most interesting to see going in, to see what kind of lineup Steve Nichol puts out there come Saturday.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see him you know, tinker with it, maybe take a couple, you know, strong, make some more you know, maybe less conventional decisions. I mean, Emmanuel Ose to me is a guy that, you know, maybe could slot into the, I mean, we've talked about this before, but maybe he could slot into that defensive midfielder role. He can certainly control the ball, hold the ball better than Pat Phelan can. You know, his distribution's pretty good as well. So, you know, maybe he's a guy who plays in front of Corey Gibbs and Darius Barnes in a diamond kind of formation. You know, you got two strong center backs like that behind you, you know, you've got some backup behind a guy like, you know, a little guy like Emmanuel Ose. But, you know, and he'll be going up against, you know, Dax McCarty. He's a fast, nimble guy. He's a guy that actually has caused a lot of trouble for the Revs in the past. And, you know, if Pat Phelan isn't on his game, he's going to get burned by Dax McCarty. I don't see any... I don't see I don't see Pat Phelan winning that matchup, to be honest. So, you know, if you get Chalry back, great. If you don't, go with something different. Go with something that maybe isn't what anybody expects. And, you know, Osei's got an injured foot. Hopefully he's back relatively soon for, you know, at least for the depth on the bench perspective, even if he doesn't make the start. But, you know, he's a guy that can win the ball for you and control it. And, you know, if he's got two strong backs, like I said, behind him, then, you know, he's got that extra depth where he can take those extra chances. But, you know, looking at FC Dallas, you know, I don't know if Terry Vaughn's a referee for next week, but if he is, maybe, you know, that was an interesting little side thing going on last night, is, you know, listening to the referee inspector, so to the, you know, from USSF, whatever, he was some referee inspector in the press box last night. He seems to be spending more time talking on the phone to his kids than watching the game, but it was interesting, you know, to think this, I guess it was Jair Marufo, you know, let a lot of stuff go. I mean, that, you know, I would have expected some more calls out of him last night, but there were only three cautions on the match. And considering you've got guys like Larenowitz and Mastroeni against and Wells Thompson, and you know, these guys constantly picking up yellow cards, you know, and there were only three given last night. So I, you know, it was a very chippy match in my opinion, and I don't know. I think the Revs, like I said, you know, they got out hustled in the midfield. They got manhandled. They got crushed, however you want to put it. So going down to we got Dallas coming here, then we got Chivas coming here, and then we're on the road. And looking, I don't know what else do we got to discuss on that, guys. I mean, we pretty much. Who else on the Dallas team do we have to worry about? I mean, if Dario Sala plays in goal, I like our chances.
Yeah, they have Kevin Hartman on the bench, and he's been a great goalkeeper in the past. So it's kind of, I mean, Sala's been there for a while, so seeing him start is kind of almost surprising to see that him over Kevin Hartman. But I guess you can understand that with the loyalty there. But it's interesting looking at, you know, Dallas's past games. I mean, there's been penalty kicks in just about every one of them. Cunningham's three goals this year are all penalties. I think in at least the last three games, there's been five penalty kicks between the teams. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out if the Revs, they continue that trend against the Revs, because I know the Revs don't want to give up any penalty kicks, certainly. But like you said, Dario Sala, he made some, I've seen him play a few games that hasn't looked the strongest in. So he's certainly a beatable goalkeeper. And I know Montero beat him from distance in that last game with a free kick from like 40 yards that maybe he could have done a little bit better on if he read a little bit sooner. But it'll be interesting to see if the Revs try some long shots against them. I know Phelan had one, you know, this weekend that actually looked better than we've seen him. And of course, Perovic with the free kick will be a dangerous weapon in this game as well. So it should be an interesting matchup. As we said, Dallas isn't looking that good. But like you said, they do have some good guys in the midfield, and McCarty and, you know, Daniel Hernandez, who used to be on the Revs, who's certainly a guy good at winning the ball. So the midfield, again, could be a problem if they keep the same midfield, like you were saying. That's something that they might need to switch up if they are to get anything out of this game without Shari Joseph.
Right, right. And they also picked up Atiba Harris, former Chivas USA. Did they get him last year as a trade, or was that off season? Regardless, he's with Dallas, and you know him and Jeff Cunningham, shot leaders for the team. You know, Cunningham's fast, he's quick, he's speedy. You know, it'll be interesting to see how the back line, you know, Sestanovic, who, despite his excellent play last night, he still gets pulled off substitution, you know. And that's another thing where, you know, Nickel might want to tinker with the lineup a little bit. Instead of pulling off Sestanovic for the likes of, you know, Kano Smith, Kenny Mansali, whatever, bring on that extra attacking person, you know, pull off one of those guys in the middle that isn't doing anything for you, you know, Balin or Nayuki, and maybe move Alston up into the middle where he can use his speed a little bit more and you know, get into the attack a bit more. And go three at the back, you know, put Seth on the left and Gibbs on the right or whatever. But if you're going to go three in the back, I say you don't take out the guy that's been, you know, you're shut down left back for the last four games. He's been your best player, and you know, most of the matches out of the defenders. So, you know,
hold on. Yeah, that's a good point, Hank. I mean, another thing that I saw in the past few games was that, you know, the central midfielders who are, like, you know, when you had Osei and you had Gibbs, they formed a really good cohesion, like as your central central defenders, and then, you know, Osei gets hurt and, you know, you bring in Barnes, and it just seems like the central midfield, I mean, the central defenders, I mean, just, you know, I mean, it's hard to really blame any one of those two goals that the Reds gave up last night. You know, obviously that Bellucci goal was just, I mean, I think you said it was a random goal. It really, really was. And, you know, but where were the central defenders? I mean, they're supposed to clear that kind of shot. It's a skipping shot. I mean, and there's nobody in the path of, you know, in front of it, really. And, you know, and the same thing with Pablo Mascherani. I mean, where is the central defenders on that shot? And, you know, maybe it's something that, you know, Osei and Gibbs really formed a really nice chemistry. You know, after the first three or four games, but after Osei gets hurt, it just seems like that Gibbs is a less of a player. And you know, Barnes, I mean, understandably, he's coming into a situation where he's seeing the first starting action of the season. And you know, who knows what his confidence is like, but it seems like the central defending has been suspect of these past few games.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I was wondering about that myself the other day. If these two have yet to get on the same page, whatever, they're pretty similar players. We saw it in San Jose, against Aiko Parra. Darius, had a miscue there and should have been covering Ike a little bit tighter maybe, and maybe just got a bit more manhandled, not used to the game yet. But you look at that, that's a perfect example there of a guy who is maybe still a little bit rusty, not playing at 100% yet. So, you have to figure out that sooner or later these guys are going to get on the same page. I actually prefer to have the two big backs, and we all seen Osei and what he can do and stuff, but to me he's still a little bit of a wild card. he likes to take that extra touch in the back line, and you just say, it's something as a soccer coach I tell the boys, get clear it out, come on, let's go, and I find myself yelling at Osei in the same way, Stop monkeying around with it in front of the net. Let's get it out of there. And then occasionally he gets out of position. He tries to take on a guy like Dwayne De Rosario. He beat him a couple of times. And those speedy midfielders like Nyarko, De Rosario, those guys will just blow right by him. So maybe put a guy like him in the midfield where he can intercept those guys further up the field and. I'm getting over analytical, and I apologize. But the upshot is that the Revs have they have choices and options for Steve Nichol to make and experiment and I'd be happy to see him use the next game or two to figure out a formula that's going to work, and that's. Yeah, maybe something you need to work out in practice and stuff, but we'll see. I think they need to get a couple of game situations in their up against some real competition where they can make these moves and make these put these people in maybe a slightly different role than they had and see how it goes, but. Talking with Steve after the game at the press conference, listening to him, he was not happy. He wasn't happy with the refereeing. He wasn't happy with the play on the pitch. He said that he felt that they deserved a draw. And to me, I don't see it that way. I don't think the Revolution, they tried, they attacked, but they couldn't capitalize on the chances that they were given. Whereas the Rapids took advantage of certain situations and made the most of their chances, and actually they made their goals. There's no other way to put it. They just engineered those goals, and they engineered the win. Did run into Jeff Lorenowitz last night in the hallway, sporting a Midnight Riders scarf. It was pretty cool, talked with Jeff, asked him what he thought of the game, and if he thought that they had deserved the win. He said, yeah, he definitely felt that they did. It was hard for him being back the old stadium and playing against his old team and in front of his old fans, because he feels like an outsider now and all that other stuff. And it was kind of that hard adjustment period for him. But, he felt that they played very well and definitely bossed the midfield, which is what they set out to do. And we all agreed that that's exactly what they did. Then it ran into, these guys are big. They were very big. Connor Casey and the other guys playing at the in the back line there for the Rapids. They were, you know, they got a little lost, and it was my first time down there too, so I was lost, and we were all lost looking for the way out. And one of these guys are huge, man. They're about a foot taller than I was, at least. And, you know, I'm not that short. But they did, maybe they just seem bigger than life because they just won the game or whatever. But Connor Casey is not a small person. Not a small person at all. And he definitely gave the business to the Revs last night. So enough about Colorado. And enough about, you know, the tinkering of the lineup. What are we going to do with the forwards, fellas? I mean, it's there's got to be some kind of change here. I mean, we can't have these unbelievable, you know, we had some beautiful crosses coming in from the likes of Sestinovic last night, and even Perovic, and Zach Schalowski laying the ball off, and
Nyasi doing very well, getting up the right plank.
Nyasi doing a great job finding lots of room down there, and then getting the ball in front, and nobody there. To me, nobody there that can put the ball in the net. It's how long are we going to say Kelly Dubé is the starting forward for this team? It's something that we kind of talk about from over and over and over again. But it's the one glaring thing in my mind that the Revs, you know. I don't know if it's just because they don't have anybody else and this is the best they can do. You know, they tried to bring in Jankauskas last night. He didn't look 100%, as we said. And to be honest, he's never showed anything in the box where he could be a target forward and hold up the ball for anybody else. So, you know, what are they going to do here? Is there any hope at all for some kind of change?
I think Hank, you know, one player I'd like to see, you know, maybe show up top alongside with Zach Schalowski once he gets healthy, obviously, is Nico Koluka. And by all accounts, Koluka had an incredible preseason. I mean, he was just pretty much scoring at will. And I mean, I made it to a couple of the preseason practices when he was healthy, and you know, he was like the other Chris Tierney of the preseason. I mean, just a guy who just really, really stepped up this in the off season, you know, really, really working on his game. And, you know, who knows? I mean, I know that looking at yesterday's match report, you know, Koluka was listed as a possible substitute off the bench. And, you know, I know that I talked to him during media day, and he said he was still a few more weeks off, but you know, maybe he becomes the most viable option for the Revs, you know, going forward. You know, obviously, while we wait for Twellman, you know, however long that's going to take for him to get back on the pitch, but you know, one option may not be so far fetched would be to see Koluka, who did feature up top a few games last year, you know, with Schalowski, or you know, maybe that's a combination that, you know, Steve Nichols waiting to use, you know, pending the health of Koluka. Once he gets healthy, maybe we'll see that. But that's the option that I think may be considered by Steve Nichol in these next few games. Obviously, contingent upon Koluka's health.
Right. Yeah. And go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, and Koluka did return to full training this past week, and I think for most of the week, and you know, him along with Jankauskas were both available to play and ready to go. And like you were saying, Hank, about Jankauskas, I've never seen anything from him to indicate that he's a, you know, some guy that can be the target forward up there. And I just haven't seen it. I don't think he's probably the slowest guy on the team from what I've seen. I've never seen him running at what seems more than a jog. And, you know, just he gets pushed off the ball so easily. He doesn't, at least last year, he didn't seem to have that strength. I didn't see anything different from them, you know, last night. Scored a couple of great goals last year from distance and, you know, a couple of great efforts. But I just don't think, you know, he's going to give us, you know, much of a better option than Dubé, I hate to say it, unless he's, you know, changed, gotten stronger over the offseason, or, you know, done something to change his game from what we saw last year. So I don't really think he's the answer up there either. But like Brian was saying, Koluka showed some flashes last year, showed some good signs. I don't think he's the ideal solution, but of what we have, he might be, you know, the best bet. But at the same time, I don't think it would be that bad either to have Perovic as your second striker up there. I mean, Schalowski certainly isn't your ideal Lone Ford, even with Perovic just behind him. But I think at this point that might be the best option with, you know, who's healthy, who's in form, probably Shalowski and Perovic as the two forwards, you know, might be your best bet. But again, neither of them are the big target guys that are going to take advantage of the crosses that are coming in, as well as, you know, say a Taylor Twellman could do.
Right. You know, and we saw last night, we saw Shalowski kind of assume that role where he was laying off the ball for his, you know, striking partner and even to Perovic, and just nobody could get it, you know, in the goal. It was tight. I'm going to actually have to go back and watch the game again and break it down a little bit more to see, you know, where the actual breakdowns were happening. But, you know, obviously we saw, you know, for the second time this season, you know, Dubé right in front of the goal, and he somehow manages to sky the ball straight up in the air. This time it was collected by Matt Pickens before it went over and into the crowd. But, you know, how does this happen? This is the guy that is his role is to, you know, be that guy to, you know, deflect the ball into the net. I mean, that's his job. And yet he's been very inconsistent in that. And, well, let's say he's been consistently poor in that. So I don't know. I think it's time to, you know, maybe it shy of cutting loose a guy like Taylor Twellman, who, you know, hopefully will someday play again. And I know the Revs don't want to give him up. You know, there's really no other options there except to maybe get rid of Jankauskas and Dubé and try and get somebody else in the offseason you know, start playing. Maybe you play Kolaluka up top. I don't see him as that. You know, he's obviously not a target forward, and he's not a guy that I've seen that can hold up the ball in front and bring in other people into the attack. He's the guy that's going to run on to that. So then you're counting on Zach Shalowski again to be that guy that's going to hold the ball up in front and lay it off. Which, to his credit, he says that's part of his job, and that's something that he's working on and trying to get better at. You know, but I prefer to see him as the guy who's running at the ball, running it, and, you know, getting into that open space and like he did against Toronto. Granted, the defense of Toronto was incredibly bad. And we were able to capitalize. The Revolution was able to capitalize and with seemingly at will, you know, the game should have been 6-1. By the end there, but it, I just think that's to me the real keys for the Revs going forward as discussed by myself and you know, Kyle McCarthy and esteemed Stephen Storr, my buddy from who writes for Revs ASN, you know, the key really get Shaul Reid-Joseph healthy and then find a goal scorer, consistent goal scorer, somebody who can put it in the net over and over again at will. And, you know, that's been the two, obviously it's the most obvious and the most simple solution. I think everybody that's even watched 10 minutes of the Revolution could probably tell you that too. So, all right. Well, we got about 8 minutes left, and we've pretty much torn apart the New England Revolution from last night's performance. And going ahead, you know, against a team like Dallas, you know, any insight what the Revolution can do to make sure that they can get the win?
Right. Yeah, not concede any penalties.
There you
go. As long as they do that, they'll be fine. But in all seriousness, you know, we talked about the defensive lapses of Dallas, and obviously, you know, with Dario Saleh not being the most formidable goalkeeper in the league, you know, the Revs, I think, you know, it's a recipe for the Revs to really just attack at will. And, you know, they FC Dallas played a pretty tough game against, you know, Houston to start off the season. But again, it's hard to make do of what you can really gather from you know, the first game of the season. I mean, you know, just look at the Revs. I mean, they were pretty much manhandled that for the first 10 minutes of the LA game, and then they just settled down. And you know, that's a game that they could have drawn had you know, Edson Buttle not scored the header. So it's hard to make do of those kinds of games. But you know, I think this is a game that the Revs can really kind of, you know, maybe stretch their legs a little bit as far as the attack goes. You know, maybe they do feature Perovic and Shalovsky up top, and you know, maybe they find some chemistry. I mean, if there's a game where they can do that, you know, this would be the game. This would be the game to where, you know, maybe it's not this. Maybe, you know, Dallas's defense isn't as bad as Toronto's, but you know, it's not the best. It's not, by no means is it you know, the kind of defense that could scare teams away. So I think, you know, this would be an interesting game to see in terms of how the Revolution approach this game as far as the attack goes. I mean, do we see the 3-5-2 to start off rather than later in the game? Probably not. But you know, if you do see, you know, four midfielders, and you do see Nuki, you know, linking up, you know, Nuki and Phelan playing, you know, semi-respectable on both sides of the pitch, then you know, this could be a good game. This could be a good game for the Revs to, you know, go forward, you know, against Chivas and you know, really getting into the teeth of that five game, you know, 2 week stretch to where they just, you know, they're going to really need nobody to get hurt in order to still have 11 guys to show up, you know, 2 weeks from now. So I think, you know, I think the keys are don't get hurt and, you know, see what they can do on the attack, and maybe they can kind of find some chemistry between now and May 15th.
Sean, what do you got?
Well, one thing I was looking at the matchup here, is something that I'll be watching throughout the game, is to see how Sonny Niasse does against Heath Pierce. I think Niasse's taken advantage of some pretty not the best defenders in the league on the left back, and really done that to full advantage, done very well getting down there, getting some good crosses off, you know, beating them for speed, getting them to commit stupid fouls. And Heath Pierce will be going against someone that's played for the U.S. national team that could very well be the left back for the national team in the World Cup. You know, obviously, that's still up in the air. We'll see what happens there. But Heath Pierce is definitely a more experienced guy than who he's been seeing lately. And also has a, you know, decent amount of pace, too. Not Yossi's pace, but certainly, you know, is closer to it than some of the guys he's been going up against. So I'm very curious to see, you know, how Heath Pierce does, certainly for, you know, national team perspective, whether that can help him out in there. But as well, how Niasse does against Heath Pierce, a more experienced guy, and if he can still beat him, you know, with ease that he's beat some of these other guys, because a lot of the Revs' attacks has gone through Niasse. But against this team, the Revs might be better off attacking down the left flank instead, because Pierce is a guy that, you know, has a lot of experience and may just be able to stop Niasse the way nobody else has in the league in these games we've seen from the Revs so far. So that's what I'm going to be watching, is to see how Niasse and Pierce match up against each other.
Yep, I think that's you brought up an excellent point there. And I'm looking at the Dallas roster. Actually, this is the Seattle Sounders game. I'm not sure if they played this past weekend. But the looking at that game where, you know, they actually had Zach Lloyd. Isn't he also ACC Wake Forest guy? Or am I thinking of – he's a rookie this year. He just came in. And they had him playing. They have him listed as a defender, and Heath Pierce listed as a midfielder. So interesting FC Dallas lineup there. But, you know, you look at their total roster, they've got a ton of names there. And I'm actually curious now as to some of these guys are injured you know, who knows what's going through, you know, Shoa Sandman's mind.
Well, it'd be nice if the league had the injury reports, you know, easily to find these days, but that seems to be a problem for them on their new website.
Yeah.
Or stats, for that matter.
Or stats.
Yeah, that too.
I try to go find an injury report. You're lucky.
Yeah.
I actually was looking for one this morning. Couldn't find one. But going down to, I mean, with Dallas coming up here and then Chivas coming right after, I think it's absolutely critical, you know, that we try to get 6 points here at home now. I mean, I was hoping for 8, to be honest. I don't know how you can actually get 8 out of 3 games. I don't think you can. But so I was hoping for at least, you know, seven, I should say. So maybe get one draw and two wins. You know, now the wins are critical. I did not expect to lose to Colorado. I thought maybe we'd get a draw against Colorado. I was expecting a win against Chivas. I was expecting a win against FC Dallas. However, in order to win, you need to get the ball in the net. And so now I'm hoping that I'm very hopeful, shall we say. I'm no longer expecting, but I'm hopeful that we can get these wins coming down the stretch. All right, fellas, that's about all I think we've got on for this week. It's great to get back. I apologize for not getting my act together last week and actually pulling the show together. Completely my fault. And but hopefully we can keep it coming on Sunday nights at 9 o'clock, and that'll work for everybody. And we can drum up a small, slightly deranged following that will tune in and give us grief over our questionable audio. And you know, because they definitely can't question our analysis on the game, because we're just too good. So thanks again, fellas. You know, any predictions for the FC Dallas game you guys want to throw out there?
I'll say 2-1, 2-1 Revolution. One goal from Dallas penalty.
That's right. That's actually what I said for last week's game. I said Connor Casey will get a penalty, but I got the scoreline right, just the wrong team. But Sean, what do you got for a prediction?
Well, I'm hopeful that Charlie Joseph will be back for this one. If he's not, then I'll bet out the window. But I'm thinking that this will be the Revs will, defense will come together if Joseph's back, and they'll get a 2-0 victory in this one. So I'm hopeful that he's back and that they're pull things together and get it done this weekend.
Right. I'm thinking it's going to be it's either going to be a 3-0 win for the Revolution or a 1-0 squeaker for the Revolution. It could even be a 1-0 squeaker for Dallas. It could be a 1-goal game. It really could be. And I'm hopeful, like you said, Shalri, we're waiting. We're hopeful. We've got our fingers crossed. Yeah, we'll leave it at that for this week. Thanks, guys, for coming on. And make sure you tell your friends to go out there and download the podcast on iTunes. We're also posting it out on Facebook. And, you know, check out Revs ASN. Check out Soccer News, New England. Soccer News, Soccer New England.
Yeah.
All of the above. And, you know, thanks again. We'll talk to you guys next week.